Hallelujah. Good morning, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And thank you for a powerful climax to this beautiful psalm that we're reading. And thank you, Lord, for just stirring and motivating this within me, Father God, to put it across in a way that's understandable for each one to grab and be blessed with, Father God. And bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Good morning, family. It's the last verse of Psalm 113, verse 9.
He gives the barren woman a home, making her the joyous mother of children. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. I mean, what's a home without a husband? So he gives the barren woman a husband so that she can have children. And this is Old Testament thinking, children are so important too. The Bible speaks of them as being your arrows, that which can get you food and that which can protect you against your enemies. And children also then, help build, take the name further. And we can just think about this in the Bible. I mean, how many women, my sweetie, were barren and had children?
I can think of Sarah that we all know of, and it was Rebecca and Rachel and Hannah. It was Samuel's mom, even Samson's mom, and John the Baptist. Elizabeth was also barren.
Okay, you're amazing. I could just think of Rebecca and Sarah, that's all. But thank you, my sweetie. But yeah, what I want to speak about, there's something barren here in the earth at the moment, and that's the bride of Christ, that's the church. It's not totally barren. There's many of us has stayed with the Lord. We've gone through the stages. The Bible says we'll walk in the footsteps of Jesus and do the work he did. So we've had baby stage, desiring the milk, loving the milk, and growing through the milk. And then we've had young men stage. We have seen victory in so many ways. But that ultimate beautiful picture we see in Jesus's life, where no weapon formed against him prospered. They came with words against him. He had something better to say. They want to push him off a cliff. He says, "Not my time," and he walks through them, and he sees sickness, and it's just all just healed, as he just stays in tune with the God that he was cast upon. He was cast upon his father's breast from birth, from a baby. So there is paths that have walked and paths that we have stayed in, and we haven't fallen into this entertainment and into bringing the world into the church. If we have, but we've turned away from it now, guys, because that is one thing we all need to do. Friendship with the world is enmity with God. He calls people that's friendly with the world adulterers and adulteresses. But the word is clear. We are married to another, Jesus Christ, him who was raised from the dead. Why? To bear fruits to God. So I want to speak about the beauty that God is wanting and he has released on this earth in so many ways. I mean, the household of God was Israel at first, and what we saw there is when ever evil times came, that's when God raised up his ecclesia, he called out someone, and he used them powerfully to then overcome the evil one. So that's been through the centuries. Amen. Go from Noah to Gideon to Esther. It's something that's happened all the time, and we are in the same place here. So what I'm wanting to do is go look at the barren church. There's a barren woman that's speaking about here in Isaiah 54. Why am I doing that? It's because this is what it's actually speaking about. Peter said they wrote these things down, and then they realized it was not for them, but for us that would still need to be born. Because the sufferings of Christ had to happen, and then the consequent glory. So there's consequent glory for the church. Amen. And the Jesus says the gates of hell will not prevail against my church. It needs to be his church. He's the least. He started it, he birthed it, and he's bringing it into its fullness. So we go to Isaiah 54, and we read from verse 1. Sing, O barren one who did not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not been in labor. You see, anything that we have born, a birth, that's of a significance as the bride of Christ. It's because there was God worked it in us. It came from the inside, worked, and we had to work out our salvation. So I've experienced beautiful things from God. Two wonderful wives, wonderful ministry, and that's good. But there's still, as we go on here, there's still so much that needs to happen and so much that needs to be birthed here on this earth to bring about the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven, together with the Lord and the angels and the Father. Okay, because it goes on. For the children of the desolate one will be more than the children of her who is married. And we've seen that there is so many followers of evil, followers of the desolate one, followers of the ones that are deceived. And but for us that are married, there is so much more needing to happen. And God has got to turn mankind to the bride of Christ, the church, and turn, and the church then is supposed to, as it was always supposed to do, is turn them to their God and to their Savior, so that he could shepherd them and they could be a part of this flock that it speaks about in Zechariah, that will shine in the land and overcome and be blessed. Amen. And okay, then verse 3. For you will spread abroad to the right and to the left, and your offspring, amen, the ecclesia, the called out ones, your offspring will possess the nations and will people the desolate cities. So we got a ministry of restoration that we need to understand and we need to confess, and God is bringing about this restoration, bringing, no one can come to us unless the Father brings them, brings the people, and then we bring answers, light into the darkness. We are rivers in the desert, shadows of a great rock in a weary land. And that's it. And why do we do all this? Because we represent, I mean, we're co-heirs with Christ, and Christ has restored all things. He's got the victory. He's got all authority, but it's all coming to pass now as the people of God, as the church, as the temples of the living God execute the written judgment. I love that in the Psalms. We got to execute the written judgment, and execute the written judgment is speaking to this deception, this darkness, these rulers, these kings of this world, and all the people deceived by the love of money and the love of power, and is conforming to the pattern of this world. We say that we speak the truth, and we say it's not going to prevail. It's going to pass away. But us that has come through the gate and is staying listening to the Lord, we are the children of the living God, the bride of Christ, the branches that are yet to bear much fruit. Okay, and verse 3, for your maker is your husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and the Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer, the God of the whole earth he is called. So we abide under the shelter in Jesus, we are in the shadow of the Almighty, and God is doing a mighty thing now at this time, because just as in the times past, like when there was evil in the days of Noah, God protected some, and they had the safe place, which is also that ark was very represented now being in Jesus. You float above the storms, and then there's others that were taken out. So we got to make sure, guys and sisters, we are in the time where you can see the good And we can see the bad. You can see the those that know God and those that don't know God. And look at verse 9. This is like the days of Noah to me. So this is a pointer, you know. This is like the days of Noah. We've seen the evil, but at the same time, there is protection. In the days of Noah, Noah and his family had God's provision to overcome, to not be tested beyond what they can handle, but to overcome. This is like the days of Noah to me, as I swore that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth. So I was sworn, I will not be angry with you and will not rebuke you. For the mountains may depart and the hills be removed. The kingdom is here and everything is shaking. Mountains speak of kingdoms. Hills speak about problems. Amen. Many is going to be moved and changed. There's lots of change taking place, a lot of shaking. But my steadfast love shall not depart from you, and my covenant of peace shall not be removed, says the Lord who has compassion on you. And a lovely promise. Let's go down to verse 13. All your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. And that's such a beautiful promise. Each and every one of us, ecclesia, disciples, called out ones, want to take hold of, eh? And verse 14, in righteousness you shall be established. You shall be far from oppression. Why say righteousness? Because it's awake to righteousness and sin no more. And some have not the knowledge of God. So in the knowledge of God is where we find our strength, and where the Lord speaks through and enlightens and motivates us. And then whatever he shows, he speaks to us in our spirit. When we witness with the word, he brings to pass. That's how God works. You try build your own house. You try light your own fires. You lie down in torment. In righteousness you shall be established. And you shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear. We execute the written judgment. We speak, we say the kings and the darkness is all falling. The darkness is passing away. The true light is already shine. And from terror, for it shall not come near you. So we need to see we citizens of the kingdom. Amen. And as citizens of the kingdom, we partake of the kingdom. We partake of the goodness of God in the land of the living. Amen. And then right here at the end, verse 13. No weapon that is fashioned against you shall succeed, and you shall refute every tongue that rises against you in judgment. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their vindication is from me, declares the Lord. Amen. So we are on a path, we're on a highway of holiness. Many of us have been children. Those that come in, we need to teach them properly, lay the foundations for them, and then to be faithful and to come to that place of where God can trust them more with more, and then they can receive and know how to receive the word and know it's God speaking, and then God backing them up, and they overcome the wicked one and into the sonship. Sons led by the Spirit. That is what creation is waiting for, guys. And so creation is waiting for the true church, the ecclesia, to arise. The barren one, but he's there with the God's leading, is here in these days, in this end of darkness and the end of the devil's reign. They are here to do their part. Amen. No, we kingdom is here on earth. We're not here to depart with king. The king has come to us. The kingdom has come to us for us to arise and shine and be the lights in the world, the rivers in the desert, the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. You can see that in Isaiah 32 verses 1 and 2. And then verse 8 says, wowzers, it's because we understand we noble people. We're born into the family. We are married to the Lord. And now we are co-heirs. Noble people make noble plans, and that noble plans come from God working in us to will and to do. And by noble plans we stand. Hallelujah. Be blessed.
Thank you, Lord, that you are our husband and that we can be much good fruit through you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.